Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. And oh boy, do we have a power hour of football coming your way in the next 60 minutes. A take on Clay Helton getting fired by USC that's going to hit USC fans right between the eyes. A quarterback that you're really not grasping how well he played yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Your guy.
But the drama and greatness of the Raiders.
Have we heard the autumn wind yet today?
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea with a rollicking song. He sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
Yeah, that's how I go through life.
Do you?
Swaggering boisterously.
Is your face weather beaten and wear a hooded sash?
Well,
with a silver hat about
it.
Your head?
No. Well, I got a couple of silver hats. I got a nice sparkly legend unicorn hat that I wear around every once in a while.
Do you growl as you storm the country, a
damn
villain
right.
Big and bold?
Yeah.
Do the trees all quake and quiver and quake as you rob them of their gold?
I live in California. Every time there's an earthquake, it's me.
Are you pillaging just for fun?
Well, yeah.
Do you laugh around and upside down when you've conquered and won?
I've got one of the great laughs in radio history.
All right. Well, there you go. Okay. Then you are a pirate, my friend. You are a pirate. If there was somebody that didn't know anything about football and said, you know, I've been hearing about this team called the Raiders. Yeah, what do you want to know? Can you explain them to me? Because they seem to have a very complicated history. I would say, oh, my God, where do you start with the Raiders, right? Do you start with Stabler and the Holy Roller and Madden and the dynasty of the 70s and winning in the 80s, but the embarrassment of the 90s? Like, where do you go, right? Because as good as they've been really embarrassing. And Al Davis, and what do you do? What do you do? And I would say, oh, no. You want to know the Raiders, right? I don't need to go back to the 70s. I don't need to go back to Daryl LaMonica in the 60s. No, I don't need to sit around and talk about Mark Wilson in the 80s. No. I would point you to overtime tonight against the Baltimore Ravens. Because here's how overtime shook down, where you got every sense of the Raiders as a franchise, the success and the laughability that you have when the Raiders try to do something, right? You got everything in 1 8-minute game span. Okay, so overtime starts tonight with the Raiders and the Ravens. You know, we're tied, and the Raiders are playing a pretty good game. Derek Carr is going up and down the field. He's throwing down. I'll tell you, if this is the Derek Carr that we're going to get this year, the Raiders are going to be terrific. If he can throw downfield like he did tonight and not be captain checkdown, they'll be fantastic. So they start overtime, driving down the field, right? This is going to be great. Raiders are going down. If they get a touchdown, they win. Derek Carr throws a long pass to Bryan Edwards, who catches it inside the 5-yard line, reaches over the goal line to put the ball down. It's ruled a touchdown on the field. Raiders win in overtime. Raiders go on the field. They're celebrating. Ravens walk on the field. Derek Carr is talking to Lamar Jackson. Everybody is hugging. The game is over. They're celebrating in Vegas. But replay shows that Edwards was down at about the half-yard line. A clear, correct call, because you can see it. His knee is down as he's trying to put the ball over the goal line. He is down at the half-yard line. So the Raiders, all right, we've got to put off this celebration for a minute, right? We're the Raiders, right? We're on the half-yard line. Not even the Raiders are going to screw this up. I mean, we're the Raiders. We're not the Jets. We're going to get in. First down play, Derek Carr tries to do that snap and hold the ball over the top of the line. No, doesn't make it over the goal line. The Raiders lose about a quarter of a yard. Okay, well, still second and goal from inside the one, and a touchdown wins the game. Alex Leatherwood gets called for a false start, which moves the Raiders back 5 yards. And now suddenly, the Raiders are raidering in such a raider way. Because now it's not just, well, we got a touchdown coming. Now it's, well, if we don't get in here on fourth down, we're kicking a field goal. And then the Ravens get a chance to tie the game and keep it going. No, we got to get in the end zone here. So second down and goal from just outside the five. Carr tries to throw to Hunter Renfro, who had a pretty nice game. Incomplete. Now it's third and goal from the six. I get the frustration. I understand. Derek Carr throws a pass with absolutely no touch on it. It bounces up in the air, and the Ravens pick it off in the end zone. Turnover. Raiders gonna Raider. Right here. Ravens, we want to hand you the game. Please take this game because we're the Raiders. We can't figure out a way around it. It's in our nature. I don't know how, but we're going to do it. So now the Ravens take over. Looks like they're going to move down the field. Lamar Jackson throws a pass to Mark Andrews. Looks like it's a first down, but he gets hit. Ball comes out. Incomplete pass. The next play, Lamar Jackson fumbles. Did not take care of the football all night. The Raiders recover at the 29-yard line. Oh, now the Raiders are going to win. You and I both said the same thing. Send Carlson out there. Kind of tongue-in-cheek, because it's a 45-yard field goal.
Just finish the game.
Yeah, but send him out there, right? Because your offense clearly is so craptastic after that last possession, what we saw. So the Raiders decide, you know what, let's run a play. They run a play for 1 yard, and then they say, forget it, let's send out the field goal unit. So they literally send out the field goal unit for this try. It's a 45-yard field goal. John Gruden is thinking, rather than try to get closer, I am okay with trying a 45-yard field goal to win this game. I mean, that makes sense nowhere. Nowhere does that make a 45-yarder is not a gimme. This is not, we have the ball inside the 10. We ran a play to get it where we want to. This is going to be a gimme. No, this is a 45-yard field goal where guys miss 25% of the time at least. Now you're talking about the pressure of an overtime situation. He's going to be frozen. There's going to be timeouts. No. Let's go out and kick the field goal. So the Raiders try to do it, except they wind up getting a delay of game penalty. Why? Because they couldn't find Daniel Carlson to go out and kick the ball. Why? Because Carlson had no idea. You're really not going to send me out there on second down. He's going through his whole pre-kick routine, getting set to go out there. But they try to send him out there, and they send him out there too late, and they get a delay of game penalty. So they have to come off the field, and the Raiders offense has to go back on the field. Now, when John Gruden was asked about this after the game, he said, yeah, we kind of had trouble finding our kicker. Take a listen. We couldn't find him. But things worked out. We couldn't find. Didn't know where he was. Send Carlson out. Carlson, kicker. Carlson, oh my God, we can't find him. So now the Raiders have now Raidered twice, right? Down at the goal line, they can't figure it out. And now they Raider again here. Now we can't. Now it's a 50-yard field goal. We can't in good conscience do that. So then they go back out there. And the Ravens, maybe because their defense is exhausted, maybe because Greg Williams is called, but I don't know. They put everybody up on the line. And they blitz Derek Carr, and Derek Carr off his back foot just throws it as far as he can to Zay Jones, who is behind the defense, because basically it looks like the Ravens just gave up. Like, we're just done at this point. I can't believe that. But it looked like they just gave up. And Jones goes in the end zone for a touchdown. The Raiders win it 33-27. That is the Las Vegas / Oakland Raiders in one fell swoop of explanation. The entire ups and downs of the franchise, the highs, the lows, the embarrassment. That's the Raider franchise right there, Mike Harmon.
That about sums it up, right? As John Gruden also was quoted as saying, I felt like a cat that I had 9 lives. I lived, I died, I lived again. And all the jokes, really, from most of the players, too, just saying that's most up and down their heart rates and just emotionally that they've gone through in a game. But the Raiders that we talk about and the history throughout the NFL, going back to Al Davis being instrumental in making this thing all run. Don't learn your history, kids. But the idea that we've just known them since the Rich Gannon era, and you had 1 year, right? You had the Derek Carr, he's going to be the MVP, and then he was broke. That's it.
Yeah.
Right? That's the 1 year in the last almost 20. Yeah, that's it. In the last 20 where they were relevant and playing well and consistently. Otherwise, it's been an absolute train wreck. Right, here's a draft pick. Oh, it looks like he's going to work out. 5 games later, yeah, not so much. Or this guy gets in trouble, or this falls apart, or this series of injuries. You've just had one thing after another. And then you've seen all of a sudden those teams in the division find their way. right? Or and establish their own identities. The Chargers with injuries, close losses, all of those kind of things. Kansas City now with Andy Reid, it's how many impersonators are there and how great can Patrick Mahomes be when this is all said and done? And then Denver, can they ever settle on a quarterback? Can John Elway get in the door? That's it. For the Raiders, it's can they get rid of the last two decades of futility and start winning some of these games instead of the heartbreaking losses? Hell, even last year, remember they were a playoff team until the second half of the season came, and then they stumbled and bumbled and crashed all the way through the end of the year. So now it's a new world, and at least for one night, Derek Carr is a guy chucking it down the field, and he's got speed receivers that he's actually using. But can you escape your identity and who you've been for two decades?
You can't. It's impossible. That's what I mean. The Jets can do whatever they want to. They can't escape who they are. Right? The Lions, anything you want. The Lions had a whole big thing. Look, the Lions were down 44-10 and still almost tied the game yesterday. That's the Lions. That's the Lions. Right? You can't. When you have a team that over the course of that long, whether it's two decades, three decades, four, whatever it is, when you know that, hey, kind of being a laughing stock and doing embarrassing things, you're never going to get away from it. No matter what, it's ingrained in the franchise. And maybe you can change things for a year or two here and there, but it's always going to come back to that. Right? I've turned over a new leaf. Nah, look, you're back to being the Raiders. No, look, we're going to do it here. No, you turned back into being the Raiders. I mean, the Ravens have to look at this and say their head coach decided a 44-yard field goal on second down was the right way to win this game, and we still lost to this team. How does that happen? How did we lose this? You know what? I want one of those Men in Black memory things where Will Smith just presses the button on the pen and I can't remember how we lost this game. How'd you lose this game? Oh, I don't know. We lost. Must have been a great game. We lost in overtime, boy. A Raiders must have made a great play. Yes, that's exactly how it went. No, I'm ready. We're up for the Chiefs this week. Who's ready to go? I don't need to answer questions about this. Just look at the pen and hit the button, because that's what I do if I were Ravens fans, because it's embarrassing that you lost this game when the Raiders tried so many different ways to give it to you. And still, you decided at the end, we're done. We're giving up. We're just going to rush the quarterback and whatever happens out. We want to get out of here.
Yeah, producer Justin Frostberg just sent this from Adam Schefter's Twitter account. Up until Monday night's overtime loss to the Raiders, the Ravens had won 98 straight games going all the way back to 2004 when they had a 14-point lead or more.
Mm. That
How about
is
98
kind of
streak? I mean, that's like their preseason streak. Sorry, I had
to
get it in.
Maybe they peaked in the preseason. That's what it is.
Ooh.
They peaked in the preseason.
But think about it. Next week, they got Kansas City.
So,
it's a home game, but they got Kansas City.
Oh, boy. Oh, I'll tell you what. Some teams we thought were going to be really good this year could be 1 week away from absolute panic. Let's press that panic button. Let's press it. Let's press it. Let's press it. But the Raiders are like, yeah, we're playing with house money, man. Whatever. We used up all our nine lives on that. The Raiders are that cat that was that fell in the Miami game over the weekend that got caught by the guy with the American flag. That's the Raiders are. They're this cat going, oh, my God, how is this going to end for this cat? Oh, my God, I feel so bad. I know cats land on their feet. Oh, no, we got caught by the guy with the flag. That's the Raiders.
We got cats in, man. Yeah. There you go.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dope. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Sometimes, look, Jay Glazer says it all the time. Football's the greatest reality show in the history of the world. Yeah, he's right. I mean, you couldn't draw something up like this. Not even the Jets would lose a game like that, have a game like this happen. Or they would have this happen, then it would lose the game. That's
they would just lose the game.
They would find
they
a way
get to
lose.
To extend
yeah.
it. Yeah,
yeah, they would find a way to lose the game. That's what it would happen just like the same way for the Jets, except Zach Wilson would throw the ball up and it would get tipped and it would get picked off and run back for a touchdown and the Jets would lose. That's what would happen to them. That's how they lose the game.
Jets, yeah.
Oh, man. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. We got more on this game coming up because that wasn't the craziest thing that John Gruden said following the Raiders win tonight. But big news on other big quarterbacks, a big firing in college football. Keep it right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Tom Moore than at Indianapolis.
You jerk.
Remix.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
The ball is loose and it's alive.
Yeah. No, we got Zach Wilson now. We're all good, man. We're all good. Hey, speaking of being all good, want to welcome in the all-new 104.9 Fox Sports Upstate, Greenville, South Carolina.
Let's go!
Brand-new all-sports format. That's the Gamecocks VP of Programming is Brian Hall. Maybe now I get to do my Steve Spurrier impression a little bit more.
You get to bring that back a little bit more. How about that?
I'll tell you, I like doing my Jerry Jones, but I kind of like my Steve Spurrier. I kind of dig that. It's something that I haven't done a lot, but I kind of like it when I can say something like, well, yep, going out to golf. Just, you know, coaches tell me they're working on defense. That's okay. Not my thing. Just like the offense, quarterbacks and wide receivers. Know all those guys, recruited them, defenders, players. No, don't do it. Send the guys out to do it. Send the coaches out. They like to do it. They like defense. I'm not a big guy on defense. Like offense, I want to keep pulling the quarterbacks in and out of the game. Want to play four or five quarterbacks at once. That's what I like to do. What was the question? Oh, how did I do? Well, let's see. Chipped up on 18. Had a bit of a short putt for birdie. Lipped out. Two-putted. Finished about 8 over par. So, pretty good day. Oh, you meant the game. What was the score? That was bad. We scored 28 points. Oh, we let up 45. Ooh. Not good for us. Probably better next week. All right. Thanks a lot. All right. Thanks a lot. See you later. There you go. There's a Steve Spurrier press conference for you.
Just like that.
Yeah. So again, welcome inside 104.9 Fox Sports Upstate, home of the South Carolina Gamecocks. Brand new all sports format starting earlier today. Congratulations, VP of Programming, Brian Hall.
Hello, everyone.
So why Matumbo? What is that?
I'm just saying hi to everybody.
Because it was welcoming.
Okay, that's true. Yes,
it was a positive, welcoming spirit.
But he's welcoming you in by telling you
if you get the email,
don't
say it's from Dikembe Mutombo. Do not answer.
It was also
true. Yes, don't answer it. I do not have money to give you if you get me out of. Okay, so
you
I was kind of doing
get
a little
alive.
Bit. That was a little Louis Armstrong there.
I was going to say, but, you know, hey, I'm glad you caught it along the way.
I see trees of green. Yeah, a little bit Louis Armstrong to Kemi Mutombo. So we'll have more on the Raiders win tonight because of something John Gruden said after the game that's just absolutely crazy. But the big football story today, week one of the NFL, hey, we got a big college football headline because USC finally decided to fire Clay Helton. Hooray! Dante Williams will be the interim head coach. He's one of their best recruiters, so they want to keep the guys on board from flipping, although I can't believe, oh, you mean Clay's not going to be there? No, I'm not going. Look, it was a rough weekend for USC. They lose to Stanford 42-28. And today, they decide to make the move. And there's two things about this that tell me that USC is no longer a football school. Right? And by that, I mean they no longer look at football as being a priority. The first thing is they said, we're going to go out and we're going to have a nationwide search, right? Now, barring Urban Meyer, which could happen, tomorrow saying, hey, I found an escape clause in my Jaguars contract. I could be there next week, like doing a Bobby Petrino. It's going to be a nationwide search for USC to find their new head coach. No stone is unturned. I've already seen 15 names linked to this gig.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing tells you about someone or a company or a business that is ill-equipped to lead a search for an employee than saying we're going to do a nationwide search. Because that means we don't know what we want. We have no idea. If you fire a head coach, you have to have an idea of who you want in there. You can't just fire and go, yeah, we don't know. Maybe we like Mario Cristobal if he comes to interview with us at some point.
He ain't showing up there.
Maybe Bill O'Brien shows up. I don't know who's going to wind up in. You have to have an idea. The best job openings and the best schools and teams that do this are schools that say, listen, here's one name, maybe two, and one of those guys or women is the head coach. That's it. That's how it works. That's how the best teams do it. We have an idea. This is the guy we like. This is the guy we're going after. No, nationwide search to be the next head coach for USC. So that tells you how much they're not a football school. But more so than that is that the Feds is a school that has had so much difficulty the last couple of years, so much scandal they're dealing with, whether it's the admissions scandal or something else. This is a move that should have been made in 2019. Clay Helton had a long time to turn this program around, and they didn't. He made it 7 years before they said, we need something else. This is not how it happens in college sports. When you are coaching an institution like USC, when you are coaching a dynastic school like USC that still should be living off the salad days of Pete Carroll, and they're not. This is a move that should have been made 2 years ago. And if USC really cared about football like they should, they would have done it then. But they had so many other issues. It's like, this is something that finally came to the front of their plates. Hey, we lost a really big game to Stanford, and now the alumni are upset. The boosters are upset. We can no longer have this happen. Really, it's this week? It's week two. This is what did it for you. Week two of the college football season. Now we got to get rid of Clay Helton. Not anything else that went on and how underachieving they've been. This is what's done it. USC is no longer a football school because they don't place the importance on it like all big schools should. Right? USC is one of the big-time bullies in all of college sports. The football program pays for everything else. You have to make sure that thing stays elite. And instead, what did we get? Yeah, we don't need to worry about the football program because, yeah, people are still donating. We're making money. We're in the top 25. We're going to games. Yeah, everything is still fine. But now, oh, wait a minute. Now we're in a little bit of trouble, and there's an upset fan base, and we're getting phone calls, and people could be pulling money. Oh, now we have to address this. U.S. War, they would have taken care of this long before now. So this shows you the emphasis that they have placed on the football program, where it should be the number one thing you are concerned about, right? Let all the other stuff that happens, all the other admission stuff, let the regions handle it, let the board handle that. When you're in charge of the football program, you got to make sure this is the one thing that's got to go right, because the other programs will go right if this does. And instead, they allowed it to fall into disrepair, to allow the team to continue to not compete, to disappoint. And now they take care of it. And now it's going to be sitting around for months waiting for the next person to come. And now it's a great gig. There's going to be many people that want the job, but are they going to get it right? I can't trust USC's going to get it right. It took them this long to get rid of Clay Helton the first time around. So you're telling me, really? Are you really emphasizing the football program like you should? No, you're not. USC is no longer a football school because they don't put the priority on it that they should, that anybody else should. They'll put priority that Texas does, Michigan, Ohio State. No. They've let this go into disrepair because they've had other things to worry about. That is the wrong way to go.
Well, the biggest thing on this is there's like 97 things wrong with this, but we've talked about this for a long while, as we are based in Los Angeles, that it's clear for several years he's not your guy, right? You had one big run with your guy, Sam, that helped move things along and keep a guy in place, but the rumblings have been there forever. The program, for those that were willing to get past the sycophantic ramblings of folks on radio and newspaper here in LA, with obvious exceptions, right? Inside USC and our friend and colleague Petros Papadakis, who played at USC, was a captain there. You know, he's been calling it for years, saying it's not the same program. There's not that same vision, that same. And so interim, you still have, and I hope the interim coach does well, right? When we start looking at what this team could be and what it is on paper, I hope Dante Williams has a fantastic year. But we know they're looking at casting a wide net. And with a university that has 44,000 students, approximately, right, well, across the campus, and when you think about the large alumni base, you can do and cover multiple things at the same time. Right, here's the group that has to handle all the legal problems affiliated with the doctors, and we don't need to go into the horrid details of the stuff going on there. You've got the admissions scandal, which, again, to me is just still laughable. If you hadn't fabricated the sports aspect, nobody would have cared, because all you do is add an extra seat to the classroom and you're collecting an extra $50,000 a year for facilities and salaries. Who the hell cares? But, you know, it then goes to fraud and then becomes a thing that, well, they had to serve jail time, do community service, and it was another big mark for the administration at USC. Seems like you could have had a handful of people taking care of this coach thing. This guy's not popular and we're not winning, and we're no longer the juggernaut here in the conference. Okay, next, go find a new coach and go find a couple of boosters who want to pay off his buyout, which is reportedly 10, 12 million or something to that effect. All of those things come together, and you could have made this move. Instead, you wait for a loss to Stanford, and I caution it, because now you got Stanford has to convene a meeting which they've already done, I'm sure, to try to figure out where the program from recruiting and at performance and development, like where there's been a gap. But you are now at the point in the conference that they looked at you and said, a loss to you and your brutalizing style, that you got back to Stanford basics, was enough to say we have to fire this guy. That was the thing on top that broke it all open, right? So if you're Stanford, like, all right, we're celebrating a great win. Wait, that got that guy fired? What the hell are we at this point then? Mm. Right? This isn't the Jacksonville State win over Florida State where Norvell, they're going to fire us. Wait, we haven't had a long run here. This is bad. And then for all those dirtbags making fun of the kid who proposed to his girlfriend after Florida State lost, you all suck. And you all need to go back and look in the mirror and try to make sure you're living right, because that's a problem, right? And I saw it from a lot of folks that profess, you know, to be, you know, whatever religion affiliation. It's like, all right, this is a beautiful thing. This guy's looking at the bigger picture of life after a loss, and he's probably got family there and planned this and all of this. This is a big deal to do it on the field, and yet people made fun of the photo because in the distance you could see folks celebrating. But I digress. I don't think losing to state football perspective, but obviously it was enough to tip the scales here. And now you've got chaos and all of the rumors. And you said 15 names. I think you're being generous. I think it's actually a wider search than that. But we can probably cross four or five names. Cristobal is not coming from Oregon, guys. I don't care how many of you try to put in some energy to the universe to make that happen. He's just going to wave at you while he beats you.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Trust me, if USC really cared about the program as much as they should, they would have made this decision earlier. It's just gotten to the top of their to-do list. It's the football program. You have to. This is the number one thing you got to deal with, and you didn't do it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm just saying this because I want to say this first. The Jets stink, okay? The defense stinks. The offensive line is terrible. The Jets stink. Sam Darnold is just a guy, all right? He was able to do enough against a really bad team. He struggled in the first half. His receivers were wide open in the second half.
Now you're just dismissing him because he's not your guy anymore. Now
he's fine. He was just a guy. He's just a guy.
He defended him for 3 years, and now
yes, and now he's not.
Now you've gone all biblical, and
I've moved on.
Shirked him. You denied him.
He's just a guy. He did what you're supposed to do against a bad team. People are underestimating and not understanding how good a game Zach Wilson played against the Panthers. All right. This is a kid in his first NFL start who was under violent duress the entire game. Not just under pressure, he was under violent duress. They sacked him 6 times. They pressured him. I would say on his dropbacks, he had over 6 times, right? And he threw the ball 37 times, right? He was hit. He was moved out of the pocket. The Jets could not protect him. He got sacked at the end of the game where 2 guys steamrolled him. I thought he wasn't going to get up. He didn't just get up to throw a completed pass on the next play. He threw a touchdown 2 plays later, right? Now, that's the toughness of the kid, and I get it, and that's great to show that you're tough. But people don't understand that he was under that kind of violent duress for the entire game, and he still found a way to go 20 for 37 for 258, 2 touchdowns, and he ran in a 2-point conversion, and the Jets almost pulled off the upset where their offensive line looked like the worst unit in the league. In the league, it was that terrible, right? That's what he was able to do with that bad a team. Now, think about this for a second, right? Aaron Rodgers, who's the big comp, right, for Zach Wilson's Aaron Rodgers with the arm he has. Aaron Rodgers was under pressure the entire game against New Orleans, and he goes 15 out of 28 for 133, two interceptions, and he's benched in the fourth quarter because the game is out of hand. Right, this is Aaron Rodgers on facing a defense that's about as good as the Panthers. Right, the Panthers' front defensive line is pretty good. The Saints have a pretty decent defense, but we're not talking about the 85 Bears. Both these defenses are pretty good. And Zach Wilson, with less weapons and a horrible offensive line in his first game, was able to nearly pull off the upset where Aaron Rodgers was on the bench in the fourth quarter with one of the worst games he's had as a pro. Just think about that for a second. That's how good a game Zach Wilson had. That's how well he played. For the first time, I say to myself, boy, I'd rather have Zach Wilson than Trevor Lawrence. As much as Trevor Lawrence, he's supposed to be great. The throws he made yesterday, he's going to make the players on his team better. He's going to have jag wide receivers, but he's going to make them better because they don't need to have big time separation. He's going to be able to hit them. And if they get an offensive line in place, look out. He's going to throw for four, be a guy for 5,000 yards. He's got that kind of talent. He had that good a game yesterday.
You added an extra 1,000 yards without even taking a breath, buddy.
I did.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you about Wilson and the potential, right? Because we know he's got a live arm. He's got a couple of receivers there. That line needs work. The running game certainly needs to be much better than it was in week one, and that was going up against Carolina. I thought they'd have some more success. Looking at you, Carter. Make plays. But just the idea of what he can become, sure. I'll get along with that. Stay upright, show resolve, keep pushing the ball down the field. I was more going into the English use of under violent duress. I think under duress, I think it's redundant. I think you just need to be under duress.
No, I
adding
don't think
the word, I think adding the word violent.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Well,
okay.
Duress describes the act of using force, coercion, threats, or psychological pressure, among other things, to get someone to act against their wishes.
Okay, all right.
So I thought under duress covered it. I mean, anytime you get the word violent in, everybody perks up a little bit.
Yeah, no, because that's what it was. It wasn't just, oh, he was under pressure. No, he was under violent pressure.
Yeah, but then we could play the song as you have a montage of clips of him running. Like,
Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, you're not going to believe what John Gruden said following the Raiders' win over the Ravens tonight. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm going to eat that tiny bit of ass up now.
And oh boy, do we have something for you regarding the Raiders following their win over the Ravens tonight, right? They beat the Ravens 33-27 in overtime in a way only the Raiders can do it, right? They try to give the game to the Ravens a couple of times. They throw a pick after what seemed to be a touchdown. They fumble trying to get the field goal unit on. They can't get it on. They still wind up throwing a touchdown to win. That would be enough. But no, John Gruden decided to go in his post-game press conference and talk about Darren Waller, his tight end, in ways that I have never seen before. Now, look, Darren Waller's a really good player, right? He has had two phenomenal seasons so far, and he's off to a great start tonight. He had a 10-catch night tonight. He's been terrific.
10 out of 19.
Yeah,
it was not the operational efficiency, but
no, but still, 10 is great. But just how good a player does John Gruden think Darren Waller is? Let's let the coach explain.
We threw it 60 times, probably. And if you threw it 60 times, you'd probably target him 29 times. I thought he mishandled a ball or two, uncharacteristically. He had a penalty called back, a big catch and run. He's the best player I've ever coached, so I'm going to continue to look for him. And sorry about that, Vic, but he's a hell of a player. He deserves some good looks.
So this is John Gruden saying Darren Waller is the best player he has ever coached. Apologizing there to Vic DeBrick Jacobs, I believe, is who he's apologizing.
Feeling you!
John Gruden has coached Jerry Rice, Tim Brown, Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, Charles Woodson, and John Lynch, just to name a few. All of these players are Hall of Famers. They're all Hall of Famers. Jerry Rice is the greatest wide receiver in the history of the game. Tim Brown is a top 10 wide receiver. Charles Woodson may be one of the top 3 defensive backs to ever play the game, right? Warren Sapp, one of the top 10 defensive linemen to ever play the game. But Darren Waller, who's had two really good years at tight end and a big opening night, is the best player John Gruden's ever coached. I mean, really? Hey, Darren Waller's the best player? Really? Seriously?
Well, I think the biggest thing that comes out of this is he's trying to make sure he's keeping his current star happy and trying to do everything he can to do a little misdirection, especially after Mark Andrews signed his $10.1 million, his four-year $56 million contract, which had a $10.1 million signing bonus, because they're only paying about $6 million a year to Darren Waller. Don't look over there. We'll treat you like a wide receiver, but you get paid like a tight end. This is where guys start asking to be reclassified and everything when it comes to franchise tags. And look, he's signed through 2023, so don't even have to worry about that anymore. But still, you want to keep him happy. Yeah, you're the best ever, man. Look, that's got to be worth something, right? You're better than Jerry Rice.
He's the greatest player I ever coached. I'll tell you, this is the greatest stadium I've ever played in, and I've ever coached in this state. I know it's only been one game with fans, but boy, this is some kind of state. Derek Carr is the greatest quarterback that I've ever coached. I take him over Brady right now, and I know Brady's got the rings, but I know what this young man can do. I'll even take Marcus Mariota over Tom Brady because of the way this kid can run. He had a 30-yard run for us tonight that nobody else could have done. I'll take these guys over Brady and Lamar Jackson all day long. I love these guys.
He just called Darren Waller the GOAT, man.
Greatest player he's ever coached. Greatest player he's ever coached. Greatest one. Twitter and how about a Fresca, Mike and Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon coming up next. My buddy Ben Maller. This is Fox.